Lutheran, Hiawatha, Iowa. Reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our first reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's found on page 794, and we read Isaiah 65, beginning at verse 1. God is addressing Israel as we begin this reading. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here am I, here am I," to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. A people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh, and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their bosom both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills, I will measure into their bosom payment for their former deeds. Thus says the Lord. As the new wine is found in the cluster, and they say, "Do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it," so I will do for my servants' sake and not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Galatians chapter 3, found on page 1245. And we read Galatians 3, beginning at verse 23. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1106. And we read Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and said with a loud voice, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, What is your name? And he said, Legion, for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today. Reading from the end of the lesson. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed, then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. This is our text. This last week, another sad example of the existence of demons in our world took place. 50 people down in Orlando, Florida, killed by someone who to them was probably a stranger. And while he is committing his murders, he's on social media, texting and Facebooking, bragging about what he's done. And perhaps the saddest part, there's a good portion of our world that celebrated what he did. Jesus was familiar with demons. And as I was reading through our gospel lesson for today, two things really stood out to me. First of all, was the fact that Jesus could so dramatically change the life of an individual filled with so much evil so quickly. Imagine if you had been living in this town with this man. A man filled with rage. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know his background or circumstances. But he is so violent that even when they try to bind him with chains and shackles, he's able to break those bonds. Imagine living there in that town with that man, perhaps going to fear every night, going to bed with fear every night, wondering, might he come around? The other really strange part about this lesson is the reaction of the townspeople who were terrorized by this man day and night for probably a long time when they found that he had been healed. And those who had seen it told how the demon-possessed man had been healed. With their own eyes, people can see this man clothed, sitting, having a reasonable conversation with Jesus, totally in his right mind. What a wonderful thing has just happened. Praise be to God. This man who has been terrorizing us will terrorize us no longer. But this is the amazing part of this lesson. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart, for they were seized with great fear. Why would you ask Jesus to leave when what he had just done was so obviously great and helpful? It's difficult to understand. And yet, each and every day in our world, in these United States, in Iowa, in Cedar Rapids, amongst people you know, people are doing the very same thing as these townspeople in the Gerasenes. Jesus didn't just change the life of this man. He changes lives every day when people sit at his feet and listen. And the evidence is absolutely overwhelming. Over the last couple of months, I've shared a lot of these things with you. But we need to hear about this again and again. When people study marriage and what makes a marriage last, and not just last, but it makes it a happy marriage. The A number one factor is whether or not people are in church on a weekly basis. You want to get a divorce? Not going to church is one of the best things you can do. You want to have your children have a positive image of themselves. The biggest factor in eighth graders having a good image of themselves, them going to church every week. You want the best chance for your children to graduate from high school, go to church every week. And folks, I didn't come up with these. Secular universities, secular government institutions that just study what people do in their life have found these things to be true. The one that just came out a couple of weeks ago. You want to reduce your chance by dying in the next 20 years by 30%. Go to church every week. Children to go to church every week are smarter. And the evidence is overwhelming. Jesus changes lives. Because Jesus gives things to us that the world cannot give. You know, we live in a society where, if you will, a victim mentality has taken hold. When something goes wrong in a person's life, when somebody doesn't have what other people have, well, it's the world's fault. It's the government's fault. It's the white people's fault. It's the black people's fault. It's everybody's fault but mine. Without Jesus, that's how we deal with sin. Our own sin. Sin has to be explained. Ultimately, sin has to be paid for. There's something deep inside of our human nature, implanted by God, that makes all of us realize that. And we also realize that no matter how hard we try, we can't pay that price. And so we're always looking for some way to deal with sin, other than receiving that free gift of forgiveness we have in Jesus and recognizing that He has already paid the price. We blame our lives on others. And if that doesn't work, we try to just explain away sin. Our world is constantly and more aggressively redefining what sin is in the lives of people. But you know what? You can call it whatever you want. But sin still destroys lives. And calling it by some other name or saying it isn't sin anymore doesn't change what it does to you. Or you can just try to deny it or just try to hide it. But it still weighs on your conscience. Jesus brought to this man something nobody else had ever brought. He brought the love of God, which is committed and unchanging. He brought complete forgiveness. And he brought hope. And when this man had those things, his rage was gone. His demons disappeared. And yet, amazingly, when people saw what a great thing it had done in his life, they wanted nothing to do with Jesus. That's the same kind of people we live in the midst of. And you know what this man wanted to do? He didn't want to stay there. And lots of times I run into Christians who think like that as well. Life in the world gets tough at times. We experience persecutions. We see the craziness about us. And sometimes you say to God, Lord, you know, why are you keeping us here? Why don't you just take me home to heaven? That'd be so much better. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. And friends, that is our task. The world is going to remain crazy. But there are people here and people in our lives, people with their own demons that can only be helped by Jesus. And they need to hear about it from you. It doesn't matter how many times they have rejected it. As long as they're alive on this earth, there is hope, just as there's always hope for us. We need to recognize that if Jesus isn't leading and guiding their lives, then the only other person who will be Satan. We are in bondage to him without Christ. If Jesus is not guiding and directing our life, then Satan will be directing it with fear and with doubt and with worry and with guilt. And he drives us to do crazy, insane, and unbelievably cruel things to others as well as to ourselves. There is only one thing that can break the chains that he binds us with. And that's the forgiveness and the hope that Jesus brings. May we forever in our own lives cling to that hope. But in a world of people led by demons, may God grant that we can be the ones who help others with Jesus, cast them out. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001. by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.